Well, good morning, Pine Lake Covenant. It's really good to be here with you again today. My name is Kyle Harmon, and I'm the worship pastor here. So I guess it's fitting that I'm preaching in this series of Being Reformed on worship. I mean, that's a little pigeonhole. Thanks, Austin. Oh, thanks. Oh, hey, thank you. I know. No, Austin gave me the softball there. But you may be wondering, you know, talking about being reformed, like what about our worship needs to be reformed? Like, I think it's pretty good, right? I mean, like, right? Like, our worship's pretty good. I think what we just did up here was pretty great. I think y'all were engaged. Like, that's great. And I mean, we sing hymns and worship songs. We got drums, but you know, they're electronic, so nobody yells at Greg or the sound guys, which I think is important. But really, seriously. But I think we're doing okay. But so what is the issue? Why does our worship need to be reformed? And that's a great question. And for me, I think it starts with how we define worship. And I actually wrote my master's thesis on this topic. So don't worry. I'm not going to put you to sleep this morning. It's Discipleship Sunday. We're going to go quickly here before these kids start to fall asleep on me too. So, but I wrote my thesis on kind of what the issue is with evangelical worship, American evangelical worship in particularly. And what I see, one of the biggest problems is that many evangelical Christians, we don't understand why we worship, right? Like, in this deformed ways, I think that many Christians think that worship and music are synonymous, right? Like, I grew up, I don't know about y'all, but I grew up at a Pentecostal, you know, evangelical church, and we said, oh, let's worship, and we meant, like, there was the worship portion of the service, right? And then there was the preaching portion, and then there was the tithing portion. Like, worship was music. And did anybody else grow up that way? Nobody? Just me? Okay. No, yeah, a few of you. Okay, right. So if there wasn't, like, music, we weren't worshiping, right? That wasn't worship. And the other thing I think is that worship has become about the individual, okay, within evangelical worship. A lot of our songs come from that I perspective, right? It's like, me, 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 I. I was at a church one time. It was a big mega church, and they had this graphic going on, and every time the word me came up, it bounced at you like this. And my wife and I looked at each other like, wow, they're leaning into that. They are leaning into the me. And then thirdly, worship is a posture, right? That is what I get. Have you heard people say, oh yeah, we haven't found a church home yet because we're church shopping. Hear that? Church shopping? That's an interesting concept, right? Church shopping. I don't know about that, because if church is about what you get, that makes sense, right? If you're a consumer buying a product, then church shopping makes sense. But if church is actually about, like, what we do together as the body of Christ, the community of God, then I don't know about that. So just to get us on the same page, and thank you, Wendy, for putting this up for me. My definition of worship is a posture that orients glory to God, right? And if you think of those three things that we talked about being deformed, those don't really fit in this as well. I mean, they can, but not wholly. So if we start with this mutual definition, then what we do in this room, what we do on this stage, it's not the entirety of worship, because worship is a posture that orients glory to God. This means that whatever we do can be worship, right? Whatever we do can be worship to God if our posture, our heart, and the manner in which we do what we do is to bring glory to God. So you can worship gardening, you can worship having your morning coffee, you can worship playing sports. I'm not, teenagers, I see you. You see your wheels turning right now. I'm not saying you can, like, oh, I'm not going to church this morning. I'm going to go play Fortnite for the next 8 hours in my room. Glory to God. No, that's not what I'm saying. Don't hear me right there. But we can worship God doing a lot of different things if our posture is oriented at bringing glory to God, our heart. But in the same manner, let me say this. We can come to church, right? We can come to church, we can sing these songs, we can pray these prayers, we can go through the motions, and if our heart is not oriented at bringing glory to God, is that pleasing to God? No. No, it's not, right? Preached a sermon last year on Amos. If you ever want to be a little bit terrified about worship, read Amos, because, like, God says, because their heart isn't glorifying him, they're going through the motions, they're doing everything correctly, but God says, take away from me the noise of your songs. They detest me. Their worship, because their hearts aren't glorifying God. So, worship is a posture that orients glory to God. And God also commands us in Hebrews 10:25, he says this through the author, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another on, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now again, I think this is pretty relevant to us today, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of people saying, I don't need to go to church anymore because I'm just going to listen to a podcast, right? John Mark Comer, he's got a great podcast, and that's my church this week. That's going to be great. I'll just throw on some worship songs at the gym by myself. Anybody? I mean, I've done that. But here it says in Hebrews, we're to not forsake the gathering of ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together. There is something important about what we do in worship together, about being in worship together. And part of why we do what we do in church together is actually to fulfill God's commandments to worship Him together. So this is Discipleship Sunday. You knew what you signed up for. You came. So I want to ask you all, you showed up in the snow, so you're here. I want you just to call out right now, what are some examples of what we're commanded to do in worship? Yell it out. I'll repeat it for our online listeners. Dance. Yes. Okay. Dancing. We're called to dance. That's good, Rebecca. Sing. Thank you, my wife. It was the low-hanging fruit. Yes, of course. I know. Huh? Praise. Yeah, praise is called. Grace. Play instruments. Yes, absolutely. Instruments. Jessica. Confess. Amen. Yeah. Yep. Confess. Believe in your hearts. Confess with your mouth. There's a lot of scriptures about that. Anybody else? Keep going. Got a little more. Raise your hands. Amen. Raising hands. You guys are doing really good right now. If this was a quiz, we're like at a C+ here. I think we can keep going though. We can keep going. Anybody? Say glory, give glory to God. Yep. Absolutely. One more. Pray. Okay, two more. Okay. Worshiping in spirit. Oh, did you get my message? Did you steal my worship? No, man. Come on. Who sent her my manuscript? No. Okay. I'll get one last one. Huh? Yes. Worship. Exactly. For those who can't, who are not with us any longer, and the saints and those who cannot be here. Yes. Amen. Good job, guys. I think that was really good. I've lost where I was here because I was paying attention to you guys and how good you did. But I want to put up some examples here. So scripture says, this is what scripture says about how we can worship together, right? We can sing, as we said, play instruments. And you can see this is in the New and the Old Testament, most of these. Clap, we bow, right? We raise hands, dance, pray, preach, read scripture. This is just some of what we do, right? We're told to sing hymns, songs, and spiritual songs. We're told to make a joyful noise. We're exhorted to shout to the Lord. When was the last time you shouted in worship, huh? Anybody? Been a little while for me. We're encouraged to lift our hands in the Psalms and New Testament. Yeah, there's so many examples throughout the Bible of what God has exhorted and called us to do in worship. So yes, we can and should have that posture of bringing glory to God wherever we go. We should. But we're supposed to do some of this stuff, right? There's some stuff we're supposed to do together in worship. So again, back to the first question. Why does our worship need reforming? And I think the issue with our worship and the reason we need to reform it can best be understood by studying John 4:21 to 24. as you already got us there. It says this. Let me read this for us. Woman, Jesus replied, okay, wait, let me stop there. Because I don't know about y'all, but if I start any sentence to my wife, woman, that is not a I don't think that's going where I want that conversation to go. So just to define this, Jesus is seeing her as her whole self. And this word woman could also be translated as daughter, could also be translated, right? So he's not just about woman. He's saying, you know, I see you. And Jesus replies to this is the Samaritan woman at the well. He says, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain, right, where the Samaritans worshiped, nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We Jews worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet, a time is coming, and has now come, next slide, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, there you go, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in Spirit and in truth. Okay. So, this passage shows us that we are called, Jesus says this, to worship in spirit and truth. And the first thing I think we see here in John 4 that I see is that Jesus, he orients our worship away from the temple, right? Or any specific location. Okay? That's point number one. Jesus orients our worship outside the temple. Okay? And like I said, worship, it's not confined to what we do any longer. Let's go next slide. It's not confined to what we do any longer at church, right? Jesus says you will neither worship the Father on this mountain, and this is where the Samaritans were worshiping God faithfully on this mountain for generations, or in Jerusalem at the temple. Now again, this is radical, right? This is some of the stuff that gets Jesus killed when he says things like this, because that is faithful obedience to worship God on that mountain or at the temple. But he says, no. It's not just at the temple, not just on this mountain. We can worship God in spirit and truth anywhere. The second thing I see in this passage is that Jesus orients our worship inward, right? It's no longer just external, but inward as a matter of the heart. So we're encouraged to worship in spirit and the truth. In Old Testament, right, this was not about your heart. As you approached the temple, you brought your offering, you did the things you were exactly commanded to do. It was very structured and ordered, and if you did those things, you were good. Amos said no, but a lot of them thought that, right? But Jesus is saying again, just as Amos said, that worship is a matter of your heart. Our worship is a posture that orients glory to God. So again, how we do this is just as important as what we do in worship. Let me say, there's no one right way to worship. There's not a right way to take communion. You saw we took communion a little differently today, right? There's not a right way to do that. There are some wrong ways, but there's no one right way to sing songs or play in the band, or there's no one right way to worship. But as we saw earlier from these commands in the Bible, there are some ways that we can worship God together. And the Bible says this, for man looks at the outside, but God looks at the, say it with me, heart, right? Jesus orients our worship inward as a matter of the heart. Now, let me just tell you a little story here before I bore you all with all these facts of how I looked at the outside and judged somebody's worship. When I first started leading worship at the Presbyterian Church, right, I had come from a Pentecostal background, and I saw these people, you know, they would show up faithfully every week, but yeah, they would just stare at you. They did not raise their hands. Some of them didn't sing. Like, they're called the Frozen Chosen for a reason. God bless them. But, I went and told my boss. I was like, hey, Chris, man, I'm struggling. These people don't know how to worship. That's what I said. Those exact words. I was like, 23. These people don't know how to worship. And he goes, whoa, Kyle. Just because these people don't speak the same language of worship as you does not mean they don't know how to worship. And I was like, wait, back up. Language of worship, what do you mean by that? And he was like, well, if you grow up in a Pentecostal background, that might be your language of how you communicate and worship to God together, right? If you grow up in an Anglican or like an Episcopalian traditional background, you're going to have a very formal worship and language that you worship to God. But none of those is better. They're not better. They might have advantages and disadvantages, but they're not better than each other. And I was like, okay, I'm fine with this idea. But there was one lady that I was sure did not know how to worship. I was positive. I was like, okay, God. And this is God's favorite thing, right? When you dare God to do something. I love that. And I was like, God, this lady doesn't know how to worship. She'd show up and she'd stand, I mean, as far back in the room as you could be. And I'm out of the lights or something right now. I'm sorry. But she'd be back here and she'd just stand here, this grumpy little face by herself like this the whole time. I mean, like an hour. Not over an hour, because those people will leave after an hour, but an hour, she would stand back there, and that's how she looked. And I saw her do this for like 5 years, right? So I'm like, this lady does not know how to worship. And so I come in one day, and I'm leading worship, which I got to do about once a month as the associate, and I lead the first set, first three songs, and after I'm getting off the stage, she grabs me by the arm and says, hey, Kyle, I got something to tell you. And I'm like, here we go, great. Like, okay, the drums were too loud, picked the wrong songs, no hymns, what's it gonna be? And so I'm like, okay, I'll talk to you after. And so afterwards, I finish the final song, and of course, there she is waiting for me, and I'm like, Lord God, give me the patience, you can get me through this. But she is just, you know, really intense, and she grabs me and says, okay, come on over here. And we go over to the side, and I'm like, okay, what do you want to tell me today? And she goes, Well, when you started to sing that last song, the Holy Spirit gave me a vision. He gave me a vision for you, and I wanted to give that vision to you and tell you what God has for you today. And I was like, no way! This is the one person I knew didn't know how to worship in this room for 5 years that I was sure didn't know how to worship. And she looked at me and said exactly what I needed to hear. And funny enough, I didn't believe her, right? She told me, Kyle, I think God has more for you than just worship, that he wants you to be a pastor. And at this point in my life, I did not want to be a pastor at all. It was not a plan I had in my plans, and I wasn't going to do it. And she told that to me, and I was like, okay, I'll walk with that. And here I am, 10 years later, after this lady gives me this prophecy, who didn't know how to worship, by the way. And I'm a pastor. Look at what God does, right? Isn't God cool like that? So we're called to worship in spirit and truth. We're called, our reformed worship is to worship in spirit and truth. But almost more importantly, if I can add to that, or equally important, we are called to worship in spirit and truth together. We're meant to do this together. We need each other. We need each other's worship. And in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says this about worshiping together. He says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Right? So when we think back to those deformations where it's about what I get, or what it's about me, or it's about all of the I things, right, and that consumerism, this is what Paul says. This is what God says through Paul. That it's not about that. It's about what we do together, and it's so that the church may be built up, so that we may build up one another, so that that unexpected person's worship, that they come to you, even in your uncharitable moment, and they give you the word, and they give you the prophecy, and their worship encourages you in some important way. So church, I want to exhort us today by saying that I believe the Spirit has more for us here at Pine Lake. I believe that. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? Let's say that again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay? So I believe that we can move in spirit and truth in freedom here. So today we're going to have a time of responsive worship together. And some of that's going to be traditional. And some of that is going to be a little more modern, right? And that's okay, because there's no right way to do this, right? There's no one language of worship. And I know we have many languages of worship present in this room that I want to honor as your worship pastor. So we're going to pray for one another, be prayed for, anoint with oil if you want that. We're going to be confessing together, making a joyful noise to the Lord. And this might not be your preferred language of worship, but I want to invite us to be willing to step out of our comfort zones a little bit today and worship together in spirit and truth. First, I want us to be led by our students. So I want to invite Micah and Anna, Micah Luya and Anna Wuerl, come on forward. And students, kiddos, I want you to invite you back to your families, as well as our preschoolers. If you want to go to the Littles Lounge, you're welcome to go there now. So families, yeah, you could take your clipboards with you, kiddos. Go ahead, and I will pass this off to Pastor Becca right now and get this out of your way.
Yeah, okay, Pine Lake kids, you did a wonderful job on your ribbon wands, and we're going to use those really, really soon. Thank you, Pastor Kyle. Thank you for leading us in this conversation about worship and what it means to worship in spirit and in truth and the posture of our hearts. I love the word, Pastor Kyle, that you used of language of worship. And so speaking of language of worship, I have invited two of our Pine Lake youth leaders to come and share a little bit with us about worship. So before we begin, Annabelle and Micah, I just want to say that there has been times in my life where I have been having a hard day, and I will be praying and driving, and the Lord will give me a vision, an image of you worshiping. And I, at Unite or at Pine Lake Youth or here, and your worship language, is exuberant and expressionful. That's not a word, but it is now. And it has been these moments where I get an image of you worshiping, and it fills my heart, and it encourages me to that point where I'm like crying in my car or something. I'm like, man, if my students going through what I know you're in the middle of or whatever can sing their hearts out to God with all of their heart and soul and strength and mind like that, then so can I. And I need your worship to continue to fortify and edify my life. So I've invited you here to share a little bit. So I've got a couple questions for you. First of all, do you guys decide who's going first? Nope. Good. I'll choose. My favorite child, Annabelle. This is my daughter, Annabelle. Name a worship experience, Annabelle, that was impactful to you.
Is this on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hi. A worship experience that was really impactful for me was at Cascades Camp and Conference Center, which is in Yelm. I'm sure some of you guys know about that place. I was a counselor in training, and it was over the summer, and we were at the chapel, which is in the middle of the woods, and we all are sitting on these benches, and it was one of those nights, one of the very last nights at the camp, and it's a night where we all go out onto the field and talk to God, and then we come back. And when we came back to sit down on our benches, we see all of the counselors lined up in front of us, and we got Joe Cool on his guitar. That's his camp name. And they're all singing, "The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you."
Keep
that them. They're all singing that
wow.
just over and over again to us. And all of the campers are now raising their hands, and we're all just singing, and these counselors are just blessing us and praying over us. And it just... it was so powerful, and it was so beautiful. Everyone just started crying, honestly. Like,
wow.
Who wouldn't? But it was just, was really impactful for me just to, like, have all of these people that I look up to in my life. I literally, like, have said before that the counselors there are, like, my heroes. I love them so much. And to just have that moment of them praying over all of us and singing that song just over and over again, you just feel God in that place, and it was just so cool.
Wow, that is amazing. That is so good. Two clap for Anna. Micah.
Okay, so I'm going to give a bit of backstory here. So this is before we went to Unite. There was kind of a big miracle that God performed for our family. So I'm kind of in this feeling of celebration, of just kind of like thanking God. So we go over to Unite. I'm kind of in this different mindset than I usually am in worship. Usually in worship, I'm just kind of like, you know, singing, enjoying my time and everything, trying to bring glory to God. But this time, it was just a lot different for me. So we're at worship at Unite. I'm just kind of like not completely in it yet. I'm just kind of there. And then I get this kind of like feeling the Holy Spirit inside of me of just like, now's your time, like praise and shout. So I just kind of felt like this big feeling of excitement, and I just like raised all of my hands in the air and started screaming at the top of my lungs. I don't remember what the worship song was, but I was singing just like out loud, like feeling this inside of me. And I ended up like throwing off my shoes and running down to the mosh pit. And there are these group of guys there.
I love how you take your shoes off first to go get stomped on.
Dennis. And then I go down to the mosh pit, and there are these guys there, and everyone seems to be kind of like, you know, enjoying it, but they don't really seem to be fully in it. So I hop in there, and I'm just screaming, enjoying it, and then everyone gets, like, way louder. And I'm just, like, you know, feeling the Holy Spirit. And they, afterwards, when the songs ended and we're heading back up there, they gave me, like, a gigantic hug and said, "Thank you so much, I needed that."
Mm.
And that kind of put me in that different mindset there, where I was just feeling so excited for God. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm also going to give a second story.
Okay.
This is also at Cascades Camp at Mud, where it was after, I think it was on Saturday night, when there was a guy playing his guitar out in front of one of the cabins. So I go over to it, and I'm just kind of feeling really excited over the week, and I'm just, you know, really happy of what God's done for me. And I go over there, and I start just worshiping with them. And it's not just this, like, big, like, screaming, standing and shouting. It's just sitting there worshiping. And it just felt so good for my soul, just kind of praising for God. And I go back to my cabin. I'm just like sitting down. Everyone's like, you know, having fun inside the cabin. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I just had this such powerful worship experience, and I'm just sitting there trying to process it, and it's one of the most beautiful things ever for me.
It's amazing. It's so good. Everything from like a, you know, 1,000 people in a mosh pit to outside in front of the stars with a guitar. It's amazing. Which brings me to my next question about being together. Both of you kind of shared, both of your stories had something to do with worshiping together, and I know you worship alone a lot too. But well, why? Why do you believe it is important to worship together? Why don't you just start since you have the microphone?
Yeah, so worshiping together. Oh. Worshiping together is, for me, a way to build community, especially at that time over at Unite when I met those guys. I didn't actually get any of their names or their numbers, so I don't ever talk to them now, but it builds a really good community and it makes you get to know people a lot better, and it kind of like builds that, it helps you build people around you up where you can just like, you can pray for people around you. You can just be there for them when they're going through a hard time or celebrating an amazing time that God's brought for them. You know, worship it together is important that
way. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Annabelle. Oh, two clap for Micah.
My clap was way off. I'm sorry.
Should be.
I'm sorry. Worshiping together.
Yeah.
who's laughing? Okay. I think a very important thing, why it's important to worship together is you're kind of backing off what Micah was saying. In a way, you're telling each other that you're not alone. 'Cause while you're singing, you're either praising or you're confessing, like Kyle was saying, or you're just sharing your struggles. Like, yes, I'm fearful. Yes, I'm lost. Yes, I'm struggling. But we're all together and we're all saying these things together. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those moments where someone is crying and you're the one trying to comfort them. You're just sharing all of your experiences and your feelings, and you're all saying, God's got this. And it's just, yeah, it's just a really powerful way to know you're not alone. Everyone else here is doing the same thing, confessing the same things, and we're all praising God.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That so also, good. Two clap for Anna.
That also kind of makes me think, too, of when you are worshiping by yourself, that's also an amazing thing, too. But when you go out and you're with these people, when you're alone by yourself, it makes you feel isolated after a bit. You kind of like, you know God's there, but you're not exactly feeling, well, you can feel the presence, but you're not exactly with other people, and you start to feel kind of alone. Like, it's good for some time, but when you go out with people, it kind of gets you that feeling of like, I'm not the only one experiencing this. This is real.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings you together and kind of strengthens your faith.
Yeah, for sure.
At least it has for me.
Yeah, for sure. And by the way, the song that you were singing at Unite in that moment, because I was with you, is I Trust in God, My Savior. And Micah, that's the image that the Lord gives me when I'm having a hard time. It's that song with you singing that. So let's give it up to our students. You're good? Okay, ready? I don't know what we're doing. Five clap. Let's pray, and I'll invite our team back up. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this moment where we can hear stories of what it is to worship you and what happens in our hearts and what happens in our spirit and what happens when we're together when we do this. Lord God, you meet us in that place. And like they said, show us that we are not alone and we are unified in our voices lifting to you and declaring that you are God and you've got this. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. We thank our students again for leading us this morning in worship. They're awesome. Thank you, Micah. Thank you, Pastor Becca and Anna. And this morning, like I said, we're going to respond with some worship, right? We're going to do some things, again, that are a little outside of our norm, but also within our norm. And we're going to have a pastor at each one of these prayer stations. And so one of the things that we're told to do is anoint with oil, right? And that was something that was, I grew up with that. But that's something that's very scriptural, biblical in Old and New Testament. So if you'd like to be anointed with oil this morning, our pastors are back there. They have the oil. They will anoint you with oil, Pastor Austin and Pastor Becca. And if you'd like to be prayed for, we have prayer ministers available. So however, whatever posture you have that brings glory to God this morning in your heart, in your mind, and in your worship, I encourage you to do that.